Time now for hour number two of Dr. and Mrs. Future here on AM 1080 KSCO, because as we all know, the future is now.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the show. Welcome back, Mrs. Future.
Thank you.
And in the studio with us today, we have Monica McGuire, who has been and continues to be a self-healing lifestyle coach about getting a radiant health for life well-being.
Yeah. She's a living example of staying youthful.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
I walk my talk because it feels better. I don't like pain. I don't like emotional pain. I don't like physical pain. I do my very best to augment those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what's interesting is that you're taking your health and healing mindset and applying it to politics.
Exactly.
With looking at what could be next in politics. What would Democracy 2.0 be? And I'm kind of curious, how are you making this transition from the healing world to politics? What's inspiring you to
It's actually been intermingled the entire 20 years I've been a coach. Yeah, because there are at least 18 areas of self-healing lifestyles that we could take on. And one of them is enough real activity and involvement in our local area to actually make a difference. Because our adult lives have been so strange with politics. We were normal teenagers who didn't really have to look at it that much, and we all started to read the newspaper and did everything we could to become good citizens, right? Mm-hmm. But then the world started to change in the 80s, and it became a lot uglier to look at what was going on with politics. And we had TV shows where people were throwing chairs at each other, and that evolved into people screaming at each other about
Jerry Springer,
politics. Remember all that? And all the early political shows where a lot of us just said, don't like that.
Well, there was Phil Donahue, who tried to add some sensibility to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But the reason I say that's important is I think it's a big reason why a lot of people still tell me they shy away from the political discussions because they think it's contentious and difficult. And really, locally, there's no reason for that ever. And it doesn't really happen locally. Like here in Santa Cruz County, we don't have ugly, ugly things in public about politics. Mm. But people still do this thing of kind of hanging back and saying, you know what, I'm not going to cover that topic.
Let's talk about other things. In the healing arts have actually dipped their toe in the political scene.
I would say that's probably true. And it would seem especially like, well, it might upset people. Let's just leave that out. But what I learned early on is the more involved I am locally, the calmer my life is. The more I actually have a chance to make a shift and change where I live so that it's a healthier, happier place to be.
So what was your path of getting involved? I mean, did you start out just doing it because it was your business and then somehow you started showing up in more and more public avenues?
Kinda, yeah. Because here in Santa Cruz, I came 23 years ago and loved getting involved immediately with everything that I could because I came from Los Angeles where it seemed too big to get super involved. But here I did, and I heard from Marianne Williamson when she was helping Dennis Kucinich in 1999 about running for president. She asked the 2,000 of us at the Civic Auditorium, who says they would never touch politics with a 10-foot pole? And 2/3 of us raised our hands. And she said, well, then, who are you giving your power to?
Yeah, who?
If you're not touching it, who are you giving a carte blanche to?
So who are we giving our carte blanche to? Our elected representatives?
Absolutely. This county spends $68 million a year on us. That's a lot of money. And there's huge amounts on a regular basis that we just think, oh, those are all big dollar, big amounts. We can't really track them. But we can.
So we have $68 million that goes into the public coffers and is spent every year.
Yeah, on our behalf.
Like on roads or...
Supposed to be, but it doesn't look like it or feel like it very often, does it? But there's that, exactly. And then when there's Measure D and more money goes towards something, or Measure G a couple of years ago, was supposed to bring us more firefighters. At least that's the way it was advertised. But we didn't get that when Measure G got passed.
Better schools.
Yeah. Yeah, all the things that matter, including really the cost of living, basic costs of living, and whether or not we're getting priced out of here, which more than half of us are. And that's a really deep, serious stress to our health. If we know within 5 to 10 years, the likelihood is we won't be able to afford living here any longer, that falls right in my lap of what I need to help coach people about. Because stress is one of the most difficult things for all of us to deal with day in, day out.
And so is that projection because our property taxes are going to be more than our Social Security or retirement savings? Is that what's pricing people out?
It's one of the areas, yeah. But another one is the water. Soquel Creek Water District has doubled and tripled rates for people, whereas they said it was only going to be a $5 increase or a 9% increase is what it was quoted. But this 9% increase for the next 5 years, 4 years more, and then 8% for 5 years beyond that. And they say that's not including the $200 million system that's being installed for 16,000 homes. 16,000 homes can't afford $200 million. Everybody in Soquel Creek Water District isn't going to be able to afford to live here when their rates are including a $200 million increase. And that is something most people aren't talking about. And well, those are the kinds of things I've gotten really involved in. Like,
so when you talk about democracy 2.0, what you mean then is just getting involved with the current decision-making process.
And using our two eyes, 2 feet, and good heart and gut combination to really show up places and find out things that matter to us and then share them with a few people, because we don't all have to do every subject. I care especially about water because I'm a hydration expert. I need us to have healthy, safe, plentiful, affordable amounts of water that we can not just drink, but shower in and use with our food and wash our hands in and have in our fountains, which bubble up and affect the air that we're, if when we're around them. There's 30 different ways we drink water, and most people only focus on the one of putting it in our mouths. But we're most of us dehydrated because we haven't thought about what those other 29 are.
Yeah, no, we talked about it last week. One of the big winners of the Consumer Electronics Show was a gray water system.
Yeah, it was a home gray water recycling system.
It makes so much sense.
Yeah.
And I hear people at the gym talking over things I've done for 20 years, which is they keep a bucket in the shower with them. And so when they're 1 foot in the bucket or a better, bigger tub like I use now, I shower into a little tub that then I can use to water the plants.
Yeah.
Because I'm using only clean shampoos anyway and anything so that it can't hurt the plants. And most of the time I don't even have to worry about any bit of that. It's just the piece that the plants like are touching them comes through if they like the water that is partly fertilizing them.
Yes. Yes. Well, this new system did everything, including the toilet.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
For that, so.
Yeah, because it's so doable.
Yeah.
That's what makes trees really happy in most backyards with a septic system.
So I guess we've got to look at how to initiate changes you want in the way the system works.
Yeah, because it got me thinking further about what is
going to have to go
next level. Perfect.
Okay, well,
so
let's talk about this after the break. Talking to Monica McGuire. Okay, welcome back to the show. We're talking to Monica McGuire, who's a self-healing lifestyle coach who's gotten involved with politics and helping to redefine politics to what we call government 2.0.
Yeah, especially locally. Because locally is where we have that ability to really get involved with one thing and have it augment our self-confidence about being able to make changes in our home area and share something with 10 people and ask them, hey, what do you know about? Which is what we all want to be doing right now because it's election season.
Yes, yes. And as an example, both you and Mrs. Future here,
my
son, were involved with an initiative to deal with the homeless issue in Santa Cruz County a couple of weeks ago involving what they call dynamic facilitation and wisdom councils. Could you give our audience a little bit more of a sense of what that was all about?
So glad you asked. And one of my favorite topics. Wisdom councils and this idea of dynamic facilitation has been one of the most exciting things to join in on for what we're doing here locally, because the idea of facilitation makes so much sense. I'm a trained mediator as well, and I care deeply to facilitate good communication. And there's all kinds of great facilitation out there. I've done multiple kinds myself for groups and have been involved with many different systems. But this one is so exciting because it actually makes new energy when there's people fighting each other. It's energy that you can not only harness and use to create more choices and be creative, but it enlivens something that's been deadened in all of us. Like I was saying, we're always told, no, 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 let's not get into that. That's a political, that's a sensitive thing. Mm. Instead, the opposite, to be told, no, you can bring out all your passion and say something that matters to you, because it will add to the way that we can create our way out of the problem.
So you can have somebody that gets really upset about a situation and express that freely in a wisdom council?
Yes, because, and this is where Sun and I have both been trained a couple times now, because it takes a lot of effort and work to understand.
Yeah.
When that happens, when somebody's really upset, how do you make sure that it turns into positive energy as opposed to break down into people leaving and saying, I won't talk anymore?
Which is often what happens.
Often what happens. And as Sun said last week, it's what happened too much with the homeless situation and people volunteering their time to help the homeless situations here. And that's the saddest, when volunteers are pitted against each other or don't know that they could act together.
Mm. And they also feel unappreciated.
Oh, it's so sad because they're doing such good work, so many people, and on lots of subjects. So what we saw, again, is the amazing Jim Ruff showed how when somebody gets upset, how he could turn everything that would otherwise look like a complaint or a whining into a concern.
So did this happen at the...
Over and over, as usual. And sometimes he did the wonderful, physical, simple thing of putting his body in between the person who was upset and the person they were kind of aiming their upset at. And he said, tell me, talk to me, which is just basic mediation. And then he, with his brilliant mind and facilitation skill that we were studying so well, would grok, what is it that that's telling us about the problem? What is it that that could be introducing as a solution? Mm. And he gets it so much faster than most of us to say, you sound like you're passionate because you actually know what to do. What should we do instead? And so he constantly pulls on every person in the room to draw out, tell me a solution we haven't thought of. If you were czar, what would you do? How would you solve this? Mm. And the most amazing things come out, not just about good ideas, but of other people saying, I would do that, when they were positive that there were two people on opposite ends who wouldn't ever want to do something together. So it makes fabulous new friendships and relationships that then go on to solve the problems together, which again is exactly what local governance is supposed to be about.
To get everyone on the same page.
It is important to recognize that what we're talking about here, our subject today is democracy 2.0, but what we're talking about is a conversation facilitation process rather than a deliberative decision-making voting process.
Yes.
Okay, so these two things obviously need to work together, but we don't want to conflate them. They're actually very different. They have different rules. They have different objectives, and they contribute different parts of what we need for our democracy.
And really, the conversations feed into a better voting system. The conversations allow us to teach each other what we've learned about and then have the way that each of us becomes better voters, because it's so sad to me, and a huge part of this Democracy 2.0 is we have the problem that we encourage people to get out and vote, but we don't throw in the extra 10 sentences of, and make sure you look into at least one thing so that you're an informed voter. And too often I was in that category where I would go to vote and I thought, okay, I'll just guess on this one, or this doesn't make any sense. I don't know why the issues are so often convoluted. You don't know what to talk about or do. And I would guess. And the worst of all things, I would vote by name recognition. That's the worst of all, because that automatically puts more votes in the incumbent's boxes.
Because they're more likely to
know them. Their names are
known,
If they, especially if they've been around for a while and if they're smart enough to make sure that they're in lots of publications. But if we're not really cautious and reading carefully and looking for whether or not something is just talked about so it sounds good versus something actually done, then we have the general impression that something good is happening when it's really just being talked about.
Mm. Now, for local candidates, are they limited in how much they're allowed to spend for advertising their candidacy?
Not that I know of. No.
They're probably only limited by the political system that's endorsing them.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. But the point is, there are lots of huge signs around town for incumbents, and I don't understand who's paying for those. I don't understand that. And I know that anybody new can barely afford the little signs. So it's a very difficult, vicious cycle. If you're not in the position of power, it's really hard to get into a position of power. And the only the way that our democracy 2.0 can help us as an idea is to say, let's just each take a deep breath and say, how much of my life is working and making me feel totally comfortable and at ease, and there's no reason to make a change. If that's the case, and there's fewer people than I know, most of my friends are concerned about whether they can afford to still live here, because it's not just water prices going up, but now fire prices just went up. Prices that shouldn't be, but firefighting is a basic thing that you think counties are paying for. But we just had in my area out in Corralitos a tax passed that we have to pay house by house for the fire protection. And one gentleman is an elder being charged additional $1,800 a year that just I heard about. I'm hearing about them. There's hundreds of people who are going to be priced out of living in their homes because now they have to pay for fire service as well.
Yeah, we've been dealing with that in Boulder Creek, too.
Yeah, and that's not what we were expecting to happen. And because it doesn't happen to everybody all at once, most people don't think this is something to talk about and find out what's the truth here, what's needed, and why aren't we finding that the $68 million a year is it 68 or is it 168? I could be quoting wrong because I didn't look at it before I came. Might be $168 million. It's a lot of money per year that is spent in this county. All of us caring enough that it's election season to look into that, to look into why our county supervisors make as much as Los Angeles county supervisors. And they've been voting themselves increases over the last couple of years. There's things like that that if we were talking about it, we might come to a better conclusion about how we want all this money to be spent. And to keep an eye on it and not think, oh, I really don't want to get involved with that. Ew, politics, you know, oh my, it's so sad going door to door about any issue you care about. You hear people over and over say, I'm just cynical. It's all crooked. I don't
you
like
know,
it.
What,
and,
tell me about that. You went door to door for a while, a couple years ago, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, a couple years ago.
What was the issue and why would you do
it? I care deeply that our Transportation Commission listened to over half the county saying, we don't want $1 billion train.
Oh, you mean the rail issue on the railroad here?
Yeah, which was the first thing that we got to do with a Wisdom Council and why this beautiful Wisdom Council Dynamic Facilitation Center for Wise Democracy took hold in this county is because of people who cared so much.
And the idea was that we have this 32-mile long track.
Yeah,
that,
it could be a linear park.
Goes from
like
Davenport
other
to Watsonville. And what are we going to do with this track?
And Dr. Future, what we would like to do is think about what is a transit corridor good for and what kinds of transit could we have?
Yeah.
Why would we use 1800s technology when we have a lot of questions? Even why are we still using huge buses in this county for our Metro Santa Cruz? Why don't we have smaller buses since they often are empty? Why are we paying for this massive fleet of $1 million buses with not clean air gas, actually, by the way, when you actually look into it, there's nothing clean air about the gas that's used. It's sad.
Yeah, everywhere you look, there are things that could be better.
Yeah.
So here we have this incredible resource, but we can't agree on how to use it.
Mostly because we aren't involved enough. I actually find no difficulty.
The more the populace get involved, we solve this problem
down.
Fast.
Right? Hands down. And that's where Wisdom Councils are so brilliant.
Because we haven't had a system for everyone to be involved with until now.
Yeah, and because the old way in the 60s is that people got together in numbers and said, no way, that's not okay with us, we're going to change it. Mm. And people aren't doing that anymore. Even when we do get together in the hundreds, what we now know is that it has to be thousands to get noticed. And that's really uncomfortable in a county that's only 300,000, that unless it's thousands of us, we don't get anywhere.
I mean actually protesting.
Well, I say more speaking about what we really want. I don't like the word protest personally. I prefer that we advocate.
Advocation.
And I advocated for the old meters instead of the ones called smart meters because I know that smart meters, as a health coach, are really damaging to people. Up to 10% of the population worldwide is hurt by too many electromagnetic frequencies, and way more than that in this county. But we don't know the number because nobody does the science on that to find out how many people here are actually electrosensitive. It's probably way more than 10% here because this is the kind of place that attracts people with that kind of sensitivity.
Yeah, they're more sensitive.
And there's no doubt that the people who, like us who made sure that we didn't take on the extra EMFs are healthier for it and have fewer problems. And it's really important that we assist each other to learn about these things because it's hard to add it. And if everybody just took one subject and learned about it and then each one teach one till 10, you get to where you're really sharing information that makes it really useful conversation at a kitchen table, in a dining room, wherever that we have.
Maybe the reason why people aren't having those conversations is because they're parroting the tone, which is a very vitriolic tone, which is a very superior talking down to someone who they despise kind of tone.
Yes,
the
we
whole
let that happen too
opportunity
much.
To enjoy a friendly debate with someone is not being modeled so much
And as
so it's people just shy away from it because who wants to get into a subject where they're going to get beat up?
And Wise Democracy says even make sure you keep calling it a conversation, even then a debate, because choice creation comes out of conversation. Choice creation is, oh, I see that. I wonder why we aren't doing this. And you're right. Anybody who gets into that habit of saying, look, you don't have any power, or you don't know what you're talking about, any of these things are worse off.
Hey, I believe we have a caller.
We do. And then we also have to go to a break in about 30 seconds. So let's just say hello to the caller, which is Colonel Terry. Colonel Terry, hang tight because we're going to go to a little break. And then we'll
bring it on
back
after the break, okay? Okay. That sounds good.
It sounds like he agrees.
We gotta catch this man.
All right. All right, Colonel. We'll talk to you after the break. Hey, welcome back to the Dr. and Mrs. Future Show. We're talking to Monica McGuire about Democracy 2.0, especially with regard to local issues in our government.
And the Wisdom Council process.
And the Wisdom Council process. Yes, and a fascinating thing, which we'll delve a little bit more into as the show goes on. Exactly. Meanwhile, we have Colonel Terry on the line. What do you think of Democracy 2.0, Colonel Terry?
Well, I'm for democracy. I'm for democracy, of course. I'm for representative government. Mm-hmm. I'm a descendant of a Declaration of Independence signer, and I take our American traditions seriously.
Yes.
The best democracy we have now in the U.S. probably still remains the New England town meeting tradition. And I remember that growing up in a well-heeled suburb of Boston called Linfield, where 5,000 people, maybe six, and they had 2 weeks of budget meetings every winter, night after night, so everybody who voted and paid taxes in that town could comment on every budget item and confront the chief of police why he needed another car and two more officers, et cetera.
Wow. Do we have anything like that in Santa Cruz now?
Tragically, we do not. We have our supervisors' meetings, and people attend, as Monica and I did years ago, to try and stop with others, the Aptos Village, for example. And the supervisors ignored our comments.
Hmm.
They ignored the evidence. They ignored the facts. They ignored the wishes of the people, and they sided with the damn developers.
So
that is the tragedy.
Would you agree then with some of the locals who are at the Wisdom Council that decisions about what's happening in Santa Cruz aren't being made in Santa Cruz?
I would also agree with that, yes.
And so what can we in Santa Cruz do about that?
We have to get organized and focused and have an agenda and back. In addition, we form candidates who truly want to clean up the self-serving corruption, the self-serving of certain interests, the disregard and disrespect for the taxpayers' money. And by the way, the Santa Cruz budget, I just pulled it up on the computer, is $723
million. $723
million.
Wow. And is that $723 million, is there an itemized list of how that budget is spent anywhere?
But, of course, it's broken down into some components.
It's a really huge document, and I did go through it months ago. I remembered there being a six. Maybe that's the new one coming up, and the last one was 600 and something. So I quoted it without double-checking it. Thanks so much for looking that up,
Daria.
Where'd you look it up again?
From the state.
Well, under county budget.
County budget.
That's our county.
The prior number was $673 million. It's a subtotal. But if you include
$673 million. Okay. Yeah.
And that's where you got that. If you include everything, it's another $100 million above that.
Ah, got it. Well, you are very well informed about lots of things, and I so love you telling the New England story because that fits right into what Son and I have learned about. You don't even have to have it be that you do everything you talked about, agendize, et cetera, which are words that people aren't relating to apparently these days, but to just know that we can have conversations about all of these topics and get each other interested enough to go to one meeting, make one phone call, show up to one place to investigate, and make our lives about finding out what we are most interested in locally that we can do something about, and then share it with enough people so that everybody's doing a little something more than we were, and getting to that place where we have the right to go and ask about specific things? Why are we getting the extra Bearcats that are, there's supposedly three of them in this county now? And why are we doing these things? And how much is it costing compared to what other measures we could imagine being a better use of our funds? There's so many ways that
maybe we should
contribute.
Be awarding prizes for our government leaders who are best at spending other people's money. Right? Really create a contest and show who's leading the way for
anything to get us laughing.
Yeah. Well, I do think that the problem with the conversations is people get so angry. And then the anger just shuts down any possibility of keeping our humanity in the front of what we're trying to benefit here.
Absolutely. And Marianne Williamson spoke so beautifully to that. And I like to bring her up because of the ranked choice voting I wish we had that we don't have the option to have yet. But
ranked choice voting, can you explain that to the audience?
Oh my gosh, it's so exciting. If ranked choice voting was in place, then I would have been able to plan to vote for Marianne Williamson as my number one and then figure out more carefully whether I prefer Bernie or Liz as my number two. And if it was just the three of them running, then ranked choice voting would be, there'd be three columns with all three of their names, and I'd go for the first column, number one, I'd say Marianne, and second one for Bernie or Liz, and third one for Liz or Bernie, whichever the case was. And then if Marianne didn't win, if it came down to Liz and Bernie both got more votes, then the candidate with the least number of votes has their votes taken out. That person is conceded as not having won because they were not, wouldn't have been in a runoff. And all of the second choice votes for whoever took Marianne as their first choice would go to Liz or Bernie if it was the three of them. Now, that's simple, basic, that you have the runoff at the same time as the election, which we could do locally the way San Francisco has and Oakland has and Berkeley has, and save this county some money, because there's no reason to have runoff elections. And there's no reason to shut off people who are running right now and have to go super fast because we have a March 3rd election this time for the first time ever. So the runoff that you will have in November, we don't have enough time to really do the proper intake and look at all the people that are running on March 3rd. There's going to be potentially a runoff in several races, and it would be much better if we had a nice long period of time for people to get their words out, their names out, et cetera.
Right choice voting instead of runoffs. Has that been achieved anywhere?
Oh, yeah, all over the country. And California is one of the few states that has it as a possibility for any city if they become a charter city. And it's the same thing, a county has to be a charter county in order for it to just be like, oh yeah, we want that, let's do it. So in our case, we have to have a couple of steps before we could become a ranked choice county. And of course, more people in this county are county residents than city residents, so it really matters to all of us. And we get sidelined too much. I mean, there's no doubt that the non-city parts of the county have less road repair and less overall services. There's no doubt that we have less say in lots of things because we don't have a city to go to as well. And so it matters to us, and it would be a simple change that would not just save us money, but give us all a better chance of getting to know the locals who really want to show up and start getting the higher pay jobs like supervisor, but that we would also really specifically have the chance to engage over a long period and get the questions answered about where did this $600-700 million get spent every year.
So listen, we have another caller, and we probably want to say goodbye to Colonel Terry.
Well, before I sign off, I want to compliment Monica highly, and I want to invite everybody to the Soquel Creek Water District meeting tonight at 6 p.m. at Capitola City Hall.
If you care about water and if your rates have gone up, it's a great place to say that my one meeting I'm going to go to is a Soquel Creek meeting, and talk to some people afterward as well to find out what's going on there. Thanks for making that invitation, Terry.
All right, one more time, Colonel Terry, tell people.
Every customer should be at the Soquel Creek Water District meeting tonight at 6 p.m. Capitola City Council to protest the incredible profligate waste, horrible profligate waste of the Soquel Creek Water District directors.
16,000 homes.
Plant.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for the call, Colonel
Capitola
Terry.
Capitola City Hall, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And we're going to go to Gail in Live Oak. Hi, Gail. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Great, great conversation. I think it's very important you guys are providing a new service that we need very much, because the Sentinel used to report a lot of these things. And years ago, I was shown a little room at the end of the hall down in the basement of the county building, and it had stacks and stacks of paper, which were press releases from the county that the newspaper isn't printing. They don't even have that room anymore because they don't even release those press releases about what they're doing anymore. So that meeting that Colonel Terry was talking about sounds really great, because if you want to know what the county's spending, you have to have some accounting of it to the public. And there is supposed to be a comprehensive annual financial report that every government office does every year. And it shows where the actual investments are of their actual money. And they kind of hide this, and it's really hard to get a copy of this comprehensive annual financial report. But that is the probably their pensions and their Wall Street investments and stuff. Another thing is about their building, overbuilding, why they don't listen to people, like about the Aptos Village plan. It's because I believe federal grants are written with strings attached for certain developments that they require. So they can't really, once they've accepted the grant, they have to do this development. And this is not in the control of the people, because it's not even talked about. They aren't going to tell you, well, we took this grant and we have to put this many buildings up this high and we have to do it, so we're not going to listen to you. So it's already a done deal.
And hidden in such uncomfortable ways, just as you're describing. And some people we would hope would maybe make a bigger deal of going to the Sentinel and asking for more things to be printed about all the local press releases. And other people might really just say, I simply want to go and dig through that paperwork and put it up on Next Door and make sure that more people have a chance to learn. We really need to help each other, because it's more than most people can do while we're all feeling overwhelmed by the fact that we're getting priced out of living in this county.
Right. So I think the supervisor meeting should be during the night. They keep them during the day because no one can get to them. It has to work.
And we've been asking that for years, dozens of times per year, please. And there's no answer given. And that's another aspect of Democracy 2.0, for more people to understand the true use of the Brown Act.
What about doing it on a Zoom call?
Right.
You can have somebody facilitating a live, open public forum.
Like some of the new regular citizens running for supervisor are saying, we want a lot more constituent meetings. When's the last time anybody was invited to a constituent meeting?
Right, well, not of any substance. I mean, they do the coffee shop things, you know.
But really, like exactly what we know always used to take place in what was called a town hall meeting, where people came and they could really talk about anything they wanted. That doesn't happen anymore, and there are lots of people who want it to happen, but they aren't the ones in power.
Yeah. Another last thing is that the water issue, I was talking to one of the gentlemen, I won't name his name, who worked on an alternative common sense solution to the water in the aquifers and putting treated sewage water, which is going to require a several hundred million dollar plant. He said up to $400 million, which could solve a lot of homeless problems. He said it's a good example of doing the wrong thing. It's also exactly the wrong thing. It's also a good example of Cloward and Piven. It's a husband and wife team at Columbia University that wanted to bankrupt the system through welfare, but it's also through overspending in other programs. So Cloward and Piven is a good thing to look up, and you guys are doing great. Thank you for having this conversation.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in, Gail. Appreciate your contributions. It's great.
That's all so interesting, and so many ways to go from it. But the key of getting back to the Wise Democracy, Center for Wise Democracy, is my next hope. Well, I want us to talk more about that, because I'm excited to have more people understand.
Yes, absolutely. And also, I wanted to get back to this ranked choice voting idea. What would it take to implement something like that in the county? Who has to say yes in order for that to happen?
Supervisors.
Okay. Yep. Okay, good to know. Okay, so we'll talk more about Democracy 2.0 after the break with Monica McGuire and This Is Future.
And our callers, 479-1080.
Yes. Okay, welcome back to the show. We're talking about Democracy 2.0 with Monica McGuire and Mrs. Future, a.k.a. Son Mondell, here in the studio. couple things. I wanted to ask you more about the Center for Wise Democracy, more about the candidates' forums, which is an important place to know about the candidates that are coming up.
Yeah.
And also on a more general level, I'm kind of curious about how you see representational democracy and direct democracy, where because we're developing the tools for directly communicating with our representatives, how that could evolve, how that could become an important element.
I'd say the key fear that people have when you talk about direct democracy is whether it can be gamed more. It's really not correct or fair to say that there's voter tampering or voter problems. There aren't nearly very many.
But wouldn't you say polls are kind of like direct democracy? Everyone's saying, well, the polls say this and the polls say that. But that's kind of measuring individual people's attitudes towards the issues.
Yeah, and I think we used to be able to trust polls more, but now they're often paid for by people in power. So
the polls are corrupt now, too.
And the sad thing is, it's so hard to know. It's so hard to know, and people are so cynical from finding out another thing is not good, another thing is not good.
Yeah.
And they assume everything is too big of a problem. I walked around the county the last number of months asking, do you know who your supervisor is? Because it's a way to get into an election conversation in an election season.
So who represents you?
Yeah, who represents you? 80% have no idea in this county. In fact, beyond this county, because I've asked whenever I've visited other places too in the United States, very few people know who is actually running or who's in power.
So it means that a minority runs everything.
Yeah, and that's not working for us. And the 80% that don't know, there's at least 20% that say, I should know. I'm so sorry, shoot, I don't know if I think about it. But more than half are saying, I think it's corrupt, I don't want to waste my time.
Yeah,
and those
corrupt,
are the people I really try to say something for.
They've given up already.
Yeah. And then it's a matter of saying, look, this is time for us to evolve. Time for us to listen to somebody as beautiful and amazing as Marianne Williamson with all of her talk about the truth. It's a relief I give people when they're anxious about anything to do with climate change and whatever else. Listen to her speeches and notice how great you feel when you hear someone tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It makes a huge difference to know that somebody running for office is an integrity. It's, you know, it's the mirror neurons, because we know we're an integrity. There's Brené Brown is so brilliant talking about shame versus vulnerability, all that. And she says, if you have everybody at the top acting in ways that you would get fired or divorced because they're antisocial, absolutely, hey, nobody but me matters kinds of ways, when you have that in government, then people feel completely destitute that they can't do anything because the people at the top are nothing like them. And that's a really interesting viewpoint. And she, plus Marianne and others, say, we've got to do this bit where we evolve to the next level and decide that we really are the ones we've been waiting for and that we can't be waiting around a lot longer or we're going to be priced out of living here.
That's
this gorgeous place.
Different kind of person than the typical politician.
Yeah, yeah. And yet there are people of integrity on every level. Barbara Lee is still in U.S. Congress and she's amazing. And Dennis Kucinich was amazing. And there's great people at every level. And we need more of them
to
move up locally.
Support them.
Yes, because we really deserve to have a Santa Cruz that represents the goodness of this county.
So let's look at that. In terms of representing Santa Cruz, you said something about candidate forums. Can you tell us what that's all about?
Yeah, yeah. Wonderfully, there's a number of groups that have stepped up and said we want people to have the chance to meet everybody running and to hear about the issues, since usually you can't tell when you read through the booklet what anything means because it's written in such convoluted ways about things that are too complex usually and involve too many issues. I'm wondering why we aren't going to our state representatives and U.S. representatives and both and saying, we are not okay with this anymore. You may not go ahead with the business as usual and have super convoluted issues we're supposed to vote on because I like 4/5 of it and I don't like the other 1/5, so I have to say no. And then I'm told that I vote everything down. Somebody said there's something like 20 bonds being asked of us again.
They get bundled together in ridiculous ways.
Yeah, huh? Things that get bundled together become impossible, and people throw up their hands and say, I can't do this. And there are incredible, incredible people out there doing everything they can to learn individually. And if we can't go to the place where at least locally we involve each other in these conversations more so that we make sense of it and trust that we're not going to get to the place of talking down to each other or throwing chairs at each other, which is just that fear that is been put into us that it might be that, well, then we really are losing our own grip on the goodness of the place that we live in. And so our stress is higher and our health goes down.
Yeah, gotcha. So is that what the candidate forums are? A place to meet?
A place to meet. And there was one, a terrific one, this past week at the Freedom Forum, and they're happening in a few more places. The Corralitos Women's Club is doing one this coming Monday. That's January 27th at 6:30 p.m. at 33 Browns Valley Road. And there's going to be a supervising Santa Cruz County event at Cabrillo College, put on by the Sentinel and the Santa Cruz County Business Council. That's 2 days after the Corralitos Women's Club. So next week you have those two options on Wednesday evening at Cabrillo at 6:30 p.m.
Okay.
And then there's the Mid-County Dems doing something, but it doesn't look like they've got it with both people running. I don't understand that. So far, I made a call to them to ask about it.
Is this something you could place on your website so we could find this information?
Yes. Thank you for asking, because life has only so many hours in a day, but I'll do
MonicaMcGuire.com?
Yeah. That'd be great.
Okay.
And then hopefully, if people learn of more, they can write to me, Monica at MonicaMcGuire.com, in order to tell me about anything else, because I'm happy to list as many as possible. And I will go to everyone I can in order to keep the conversation running in my life, because I need and want that to be something I at least exemplify.
You come from the healing world.
Yeah.
You help people with healing. Now, do you find yourself moving more into incorporating politics as part of your life path? I mean, are you going to be running for any office yourself?
Yeah, thanks for asking. I have considered it. And I strongly believe that local is so exciting because it's obvious for most local people who run for an office that they're local and that they really plan to stay local. And I don't think we have enough of that obvious in place here. And I love this place and I really want to stay. Mm. So I looked at it. That's one reason I walked around, especially the last 6 months, asking people if they know. And it was amazing. Way more than half the people who were saying, yeah, I don't know, but what, are you running? I'll vote for you. What's your name? I'll vote for you. It's like immediate, because we do that. Yeah. We take a gut response on things.
To someone you have an affinity with.
Yeah. And just my simply asking them and showing my interest was enough for them to say, you look like a real person. Will you run, please? I hate the guy in place, please. That's sad, but it was a strong pull. I strongly considered it until the amazing Becky Steinbrenner decided that she was going to run. And I had to say, well, I just want to support her because she's been our unpaid supervisor for the last 5 years.
So she's someone who's been working in the grassroots arena for a long time. Huh?
More astonishingly than you can believe. She's actually gone to every single supervisor meeting and writes about it in Bratton Online every week.
And she's running against Zach Friend.
Yes, she is. And the incumbent is in a very strong position of power. And it's up to us to ask that they be allowed to have conversations. And so there's one that I know of where they both will be there, and I hope more. What I've seen so far is that it doesn't look like there's enough of that. And some people, because of the short season, it seems we had the problem that a bunch of organizations actually made endorsements before the end of the candidate announcement period was done. So that makes no sense, but it can be chalked up to it's an early primary. It's March 3rd, 3/3/2020, cool date coming up.
Yeah.
That is our election here. Huh. That's 3 months sooner than usual. So there was...
Is that because it's a presidential election
year? I think so, because basically the California idea that we've never, ever had a say, that our primaries have never mattered before. Now, again, our primaries don't have to matter if we just had ranked choice voting in this country, which, by the way, that's another website. Fairvote.org is brilliant for lots of really easy ways to understand ranked choice voting if you want to look further into it.
Vote.org. Okay, and I also wanted you to talk a little bit more about your experiences with the Center for Wise Democracy.
Yeah, because that's the most exciting thing. Anything that allows more people to understand their vital interests and the chance to have their vital interests be pulled out of them, because that's what a wisdom council is, a term used in lots of different systems. But in this system, a wisdom council is a random selection of people involved in an area. It can be worldwide. It doesn't just have to be a local area. It can be your neighborhood, but it can be for the entire district. There's five districts in this county, for example, for supervisors. If the whole district had, from, say, the voting polls, a random selection of 16 people to talk about something that matters, such as road repair, it matters so much for District 2, and why it takes so long long and why it's so haphazard the way it's done when there's $600 million per year, 700, as Terry says. Why would that be and what could we do about it? And how would we do like Becky Steinbrenner has done? She repairs the roads herself.
Oh, yeah.
Because she lives on county roads that aren't going to get repaired.
Yeah, that's what we have to do. Actually,
so I actually
think about it.
Yeah, yeah. And I had fun one day looking up on YouTube, what does it take to repair your road? And what's ecological? How do you do it in a way that's sustainable and isn't going to make the runoff ugly?
Does Becky send a bill to the county when she's done?
I doubt she does. No, that she's one of these people. She has been, like I said, our unpaid representative for 5 solid years, going to not just the supervisor meetings, but all the ones all around town, making sure that she could understand what's going on and follow that rabbit down its hole and then follow that one and figure out the next thing. She's a genius. She's incredibly polite, incredibly capable of being kind and at ease in a simple conversation with people. So she's found out so much. It's exciting, and she's exciting to hear. And we need people like her so that we all can afford to stay living here.
Mm-hmm. Is there a website where you can read about her more?
There is, but I keep looking up Becky Steinbrenner. I suggest look her up on YouTube more often because she's...
Also,
okay.
You can
there.
Look her up on the votescount.com website.
Yes, her statement is there.
Her voter statement is there. And her website is voteforbeckysteinbrenner@gmail.com. And that's vote number 4, BECKYSTEINBRUNER@gmail.com.
Okay. That's her email, yeah. And her she does have a website, but it wasn't working last time I saw, so just keep looking.
And Monica, the best place to reach you?
I'm at monica@monicamcguire.com, and I'm also fine with people calling me. I want to be active this election season.
KSCO Santa Cruz. Thanks for listening.